This morning, we're continuing our series in John called All In. All In. And looking at the book of John and what it looks like to live a life all in our faith and what that looks like going forward and the different outcomes that can come from it. And last week, Pastor Carolee talked about a pretty famous passage in John, talking about that God so loved that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life, and we'll be saved. And this week, we're going to continue in John, look at a story about a man whose whole life has changed after he met Jesus. His whole life looked completely different after he met Jesus. But first, I want to look at this idea of being all in, okay? Being all in and what that means, what that looks like. When you're not all in, people can usually tell. When you're kind of like on the fence about something, you're a little uneasy about something, people can usually tell that you're not all in. And on the flip side, if you are all in, like if you're excited and pumped up and like ready for something, people know that you're all in. People know that you are full board for it. And some things, to be honest, things that we should be all in on, we're not really all in. And some things that we probably shouldn't be too concerned about, we are like really concerned about. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. There's different things for different people that they're, you know, passionate about. But in our faith, we should be all in. Can you think of a time in your life where you were like on the fence about something, you were uneasy about something, unsure of something, but then something happened and you were like, okay, I'm in now. Like, I wasn't sure before, but like now I am in. I remember when I was in just finished college, so my first year out of college, my whole 4 years in school, there was this ball hockey league that we would play in. And so I would play my 4 years, but then when I graduated, I was living out here, and my school was in Abbotsford, so I'm like, well, I'm not going to drive all the way out. But my roommate at the time was still in school, and so he was playing in this ball hockey league. And he would come home after each game, and he would say, oh, man, like, we lost, like, all this kind of stuff, and he'd be frustrated. I'm like, oh, that's too bad, and so it turned out that halfway through the year, so second semester, they do like another draft. So if other people want to play, then they get assigned to a team. They get like picked. And so my friend is like, man, like you should sign up. Like we have the first pick. We'll pick you. I was like, man, like it's so far. Like I really don't want to drive all the way out there. And he's like, no, man, sign up and I'll drive you. Like I'll drive you. You will never have to pay for gas. Like I'll drive you. And then like we live in the same spot. So like I'll drive you home and it won't cost anything. It'll be awesome. I was like, I don't know, man. He's like begging me. He's like, come on, please, please play. Like I'll drive you, da, da, da. I said, you know what? Okay, like I'll play. I'll play, sign me up, but like I can't even commit to how many games I can play. Like I can probably only play, you know, half the games. He said, that's fine. Just sign up and play. And he says, okay, so you're on, I don't remember the team name, but we were purple. So he's like, so you got to get a purple shirt. So I'm like, okay. So I go out to the store, I buy a purple shirt, like I'm all ready to play. And then I get a message from him, like, and I live with him. That's a funny thing. He didn't even tell me to my face. He's like, hey man, so we pick someone else. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, we picked someone else. We thought about it, and because you probably couldn't play as many games, then like we picked someone else. I was like, I told you that. Like, I told you I couldn't play that many games. He's like, I know, but so you got picked up by this other team. It's like, I didn't even want to play. Like, the only reason I signed up was because you were going to drive me. Now you can't drive me? He's like, no, man, I'm sorry. Like, we picked someone else. So I didn't even want to play in the first place, but now the only reason I wanted to play was I wanted to crush that other team. So I get a message from a person I never met before, and they say like, hey, so I know that you're probably hoping that you were on this other team, but now you're on like our team, and I don't even know the team name, we're gray. And I'm like, looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. And so as luck would have it, our first game that we played with my like new team was against this purple team. And so I went in and I was like, I'm gonna play like as hard as I possibly can, because I didn't even want to play in the first place, but now I'm all in. Like, now I'm going for it. And so we played, and at the end of the first period, we were winning 10-0. And I'll never forget this. And the guy who, my roommate, the buzzer sounded for like the end of the first period, and so I'm walking by him, and I whisper in his ear, should have picked me. And he's like, oh, and he just walks off. And then as luck would have it, that gray team ended up winning the championship. And I was like, yeah, like I was pumped. I'm in. Like I'm team gray for life now. Like I'm ready to go. Because I was so upset, right? I was on the fence about playing. I didn't even want to play. He had to convince me to play. I bought this purple shirt. Like, and purple's not a color I'm going to wear normally. And I buy this shirt, and now I don't even play. And I'm like, okay, fine. Like, you did this. Like, this is your fault. But we have those moments, right, where there's things that we're on the fence about, we're not really sure about, but then maybe something happens, and now we're all in. We're all in. And I think sometimes if we're being honest in our faith, we kind of go through these seasons, right? We go through these seasons where there's times where we're like all in, like we're excited about our relationship with Jesus, we're excited about where it's going and the things that are happening, but then there are times where we're a bit more on the fence. There are times where we're a little bit more unsure and we're just kind of some doubt that's there. And I've been there, and there's times in my life where it's ebbs and flows, right? There's times where you're really excited and things are really going well, and there's times where it's a bit of a struggle. And so our goal in this series is to show that an all-in life with Jesus is the best life that we can have. So we're looking at John chapter 9. We're looking at a bunch of verses, but we're going to split it up into three different sections. So the first 12 verses we're going to look at. So John 9, verses 1 to 12. And it says this. As he passed by, he saw a man. This is Jesus. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered him, it is not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, because night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. He then anointed this man's eyes with mud. I love how it just sounds like so nice. Like really he spread mud on his face. Like he anointed his eyes with mud. Like he spread mud on his face and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is he, and others said, no, but it is like him. And he kept saying, I am the man. I am the man. So they said to him, then how were your eyes opened? And he answered, the man called Jesus made mud, anointed my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. And they said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. I don't know. I want to look at three things that we're going to look at from the three portions of this passage. And the first one is this, Jesus restores us. Jesus restores us. Here's this man, he's been blind his whole life, forced to beg to survive, forced to rely on the kindness of others so that he can eat and survive on his own. I want us to think about the question that the disciples ask Jesus here. So here's the disciples, these are the, you know, the 12, the followers of Jesus, the ones who like would know Jesus best and should be the best examples of Jesus. And they're walking by this blind man, they ask Jesus the question. And they don't ask him, hey, Jesus, like, this blind man, like, shouldn't we, like, give him some, like, money? Shouldn't we give him some food? Shouldn't we, like, take compassion on him? Shouldn't we encourage him? Maybe we should pray for him. They don't say any of that. They say, hey, Jesus, like, whose fault is it that he's blind? Like, did he mess up or was it his parents? What kind of question is that? You're walking by someone, and they're not compassionate. They're not encouraging. They say, hey, whose fault is it? Can you imagine being blind your whole life? And most people that walk by you, not only do they not take compassion on you, but they think it's your fault. How awful would that be? Your whole life you're blind and people aren't even like being extra like nice to you, but they're like, well, you messed up. Like if you're blind, you must have done something, you or your parents. What kind of life is that? So Jesus responds and says like, no, like it's not his fault. It's so that I may show good works, that we may show through his life who I am. So Jesus says that, spits on the ground, makes some mud, puts it up, rubs it on the guy's eyes and says, go wash up. When we read this, it can be so easy to skim over like what that would look like. But can you imagine if that's you, you're minding your own business. Some guy walks up, you hear him like spit and you're like, you know, you kind of, what's that? He makes some mud and rubs it in your face. And then says, go wash up. If that was me, I'd be like, what do you mean go wash up? You just put mud in my face. Like, you wash it off. Like, what are you talking about? Like, we can skip over that pretty easy. But this guy would, like, he's got to be a little bit like, what is happening? Like, not even like, it's like spit too. It's not even like it's like water. Like, it's even like worse. Like, spit on the ground, rub it up. Here you go. Go wash up. It's like, okay, sounds good. I'm going to go do that. And he goes and he washes off his face and he comes back. And he's all excited because he can see. And he comes back like, oh my goodness, like I can see for the first time. Like, this guy Jesus, he did this. And people kind of start like ignoring him. Because they're like, hey, is this? They're like talking amongst themselves. Is that the guy who used to be blind? I don't think so. And he's like, it's me. I used to be blind. No, I don't think that's him. He looks like him though, but I'm not sure it's him. No, it's me. Like, I'm the man. Yeah, maybe it's him. Or maybe it's someone like him. Like, they're just ignoring him, right? Could you imagine how frustrating it would be? Like, I know like who I am. Like, I was blind. Like, I can see now. And he comes back. And here's this man. His whole life he lived in darkness. And one moment with Jesus changed everything. His whole life he lived in darkness. And this one moment changed everything. What a beautiful picture of the gospel. That we can live our entire life one way. And one clear moment with Jesus can change everything. One moment of clarity, and we can be completely restored. Now, I imagine that after this, this man would be all in, right? Like, can you imagine that story that you're going to tell, like, your kids? Like, you actually, kids, I was actually blind for a number of years, and then Jesus rubbed some mud in my face, and now I can see. Like, I'm assuming that he'd be all in for the rest of, he wouldn't be on the fence anymore. But when I thought about this a little bit more, I thought, well, you know what? Like, in my own life, like, personally, I've had moments where, like, God has done some awesome, awesome things. And I'm thinking, like, yeah, I am all in. But with life, things happen. And then there's times where you kind of forget that. You forget the things that maybe God did in the past. And you question and you doubt. And so, who knows? Maybe this man, his whole life, he was all in from that point on. But I imagine there probably still would have been times of doubt and worry in his life as he moved forward. But Jesus wants to restore us. Not necessarily in a physical way, but he wants to restore us to himself because he wants relationship with us. And the best part about this restoration is that it's not a one-time only offer. It's not a one-time only offer. It's not a, hey, you got this one time, but now after this, like, you're done. Like, this is it. Like, it's limited time only. Like, when you see on those commercials, like, if you call in the next 10 minutes, it's not one of those. Like, it's not... there's no timer on it. There's no limit. Jesus wants to restore us to himself because he wants relationship with us. The story picks up in verse 13, and it says this. It says, they brought him to the Pharisees, the man who was once blind. And now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. And so the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Like, it's pretty... Not complicated. Like, he rubbed some mud in my face. I washed it off. Now I can see. And he said, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God. He does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was division among them. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him since he has opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son, that he was born blind, but how now sees, we do not know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he'll speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, ask him, he is of age. Parents of teenagers are like, yeah, that's what I do sometimes, like, you're old enough now. You decide. Like, you pick. So the second point I want to make, and I'm going to explain, is that Jesus cares more about us. He cares more about me and you than he does his laws. And before that, I know it might sound a bit odd to you, but before you kind of make up your mind, hear me out on this. Here Jesus heals a blind man. And instead of being amazed, these Pharisees are looking at the fine print. Like, I can just imagine, like, the conversation, like, now I'm happy for this guy. Like, I'm like, no one's happier than me that he can see, but, like, it's the Sabbath. Like, that shouldn't have happened. Like, I'm happy he can see. That's great, but I mean, like, that should be done tomorrow. Like, He's been blind his whole life. What's one more day? Like, this is just disrespectful. Yeah, I know. I'm happy, too, that he can see. But, I mean, you're right. It's the Sabbath. Like, they really shouldn't be doing that. Can you imagine? Like, that's ridiculous. So these Pharisees, they cared more about the laws than the lawgiver. They cared more about the laws than the lawgiver. Now, I'm not saying that the laws and the life guidelines that Jesus leaves for us aren't important, and that Jesus doesn't care about them. That's not what I'm saying at all. Because if he didn't care about them, he wouldn't have given them. But let me explain it this way. Any parents out there, I'm assuming that you didn't have kids because you love enforcing rules. I'm assuming you're like, you know what, I should have a couple of kids because I love enforcing curfew. Like, I just love making sure that someone's home by 10 o'clock. I better have a kid so that I can enforce that, right? You're not thinking, you know what, I love it when I get to say, hey, no more internet time, give me your phone. That is the best. Like, I love having that power. I better have a kid so that I can make sure that I show my power to that kid. You don't do that. Like, if you did, I mean, that's the first I've ever heard. But I whenever I've asked someone, oh, like, you had kids, like, you know, what makes you want to have kids? Or what's the best? No one's ever said, I love enforcing rules. Like, I love it. It's so good. Like, I just love having those arguments with my teenagers about the rules that I'm placing. That's the best time of my life. Like, I just love it. Like, those arguments, we're screaming at each other, man, that gives me life. That's just so good. Right? As a parent, you enforce rules because you love your kids, because you know better than them, even if they don't know that. You know better than them, and so you enforce these rules because you love your kids. In the same way, God wasn't on his own and thought, you know what? I made these great rules. I better make someone to follow them. I have this great set of rules. I better make some people that they can follow them. He created them because he loves us, and because he loves us, he knows what's best for us. And so he lays out this way to live because he knows that it's the best life that we can live. In the book of Mark, it talks about that the Sabbath was made for man, not the man for Sabbath. I would suggest that that's what he's kind of saying here. He's saying, hey, like, the Sabbath is ordered by God because he knows we need rest. God is telling us you need to keep the Sabbath because he knows that we need rest. Not because it hurts him when we don't. Not because he's like, oh, it really actually, like, it affects me in a really negative way if you don't rest. No, it's he knows what's best for us. He loves us, and so he says, you need to have a day of rest. You need to rest. When we are all in with Jesus, like Pastor Marcus said a bunch of times, we are more concerned with the person of Jesus and making disciples than anything else. When we are all in, we are more concerned with the person of Jesus and making disciples than anything else. And sometimes I think we can be guilty of the same thing as the Pharisees. We can be more concerned about the rules or the laws that people break than the people themselves. We can be more concerned about the laws than the lawgiver. And when we do that, that never works in making disciples. That never works, because the third lesson we can get from this story is that a personal relationship or encounter with Jesus always comes before life change. A personal relationship or encounter with Jesus always comes before life change. In verse 24, it picks up and says, "For the second time, they, the Pharisees, called the man who had been blind and said to him, 'Give glory to God, we know that this man is a sinner.' And he answered, 'Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, though, is I was blind and now I see.' And they said to him, 'What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?' And he answered them, 'I've told you already and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to be his disciples?'" I think it's a bit sarcastic, right? It's like, I've already told you. Do you want to be a disciple too? And then, of course, to this, they respond in a pretty negative way. They say, and they reviled him and saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. And we know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. And if this man were not from God, he could do nothing." And they answered him, "You were born in utter sin." That's that idea of, hey, if you're born blind, you're a sinner. You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard this, that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. I love that one line. I don't know, you know, who he says he is, but one thing I do know is I was blind, and now I see. I don't know a lot, but what I do know is this, that I was blind, and now I see. Now, Jesus didn't tell this man when he met him and saw him blind, said, hey, I got a proposition for you. If you go and get your life together really, really good, I might come back, and if you're lucky, I'll rub some mud on your face, and then you'll be able to see. He didn't do that. He healed him, and then this man's life changed. It is impossible to be all in our faith without a personal relationship or encounter with Jesus. It's impossible. And we can't expect people to transform their life until they've met the person who transforms them. We can't expect people to be changed until they meet the person that changes them. And a personal relationship or experience with Jesus changes everything. It doesn't matter if how many times we hear about it, read about it, watch it on TV. Unless something affects you in a personal way, it is really, really hard to buy in. Unless something affects you in a personal way, it is really, really hard to buy in. Mark's going to love this story a little bit, I know it, but if you know us, I am a kind of a nerd. I love like Lord of the Rings, huge Lord of the Rings fan, and Mark makes fun of it. And Mark likes Star Wars, and I kind of make fun of that. And so I've never really been a huge Star Wars guy. Like I've kind of always thought, you know, the first ones were good, but those like Jar Jar Binks and stuff, like if you've seen it, it's like, there's no way, like it's not good. You don't want to go there, yeah. And so I wasn't a huge Star Wars fan, but a couple years ago, I went to Disneyland in California. And walking through like their Star Wars area, I was like, this is unbelievable. Like they have so many like collectibles, and they have like the full suits and like movie props and all this kind of stuff. And walking through, I was like, man, like this is unbelievable. Especially when you think about like the original movies, what they did in that time. It's like, man, this is incredible. And you walk through, and as I was walking through and as I was experiencing, I'm like, man, like Star Wars is pretty cool. Like Star Wars is pretty cool. Because I experienced it in a personal way. I was there. I was walking through. You could see the characters walking around in their suits. You could see the different rides, and you could be involved in it. They were interactive. And so after that, I was like, you know what? Yeah, I like Star Wars. Star Wars is really cool. Because it affected me in a personal way. Because I was there, I was in the midst of it. But before that, I didn't really care. I think it's the same with our relationship with Jesus. Until we experience him in a personal way, it's going to be impossible for our lives to be transformed and to be all in. Because if we don't have a relationship with Jesus in a personal way, it's just a list of rules. That's all it is. If we don't have a relationship with Jesus, it's a list of rules, and it's kind of a bummer. I tell our students and youth all the time, like, hey, like, your faith, your parents' faith is not going to sustain you forever. When you're young and your parents are maybe forcing you to go to church and forcing you all that kind of stuff, like, you can survive for a bit, but for a while, your faith needs to sustain yourself. Like, your own faith needs to sustain you. A personal relationship with Jesus is the only way for us to live a transformed and all-in life. We can hear about all this stuff about Jesus. We can read about Jesus. We can watch and listen to sermons, but none of that will replace a personal relationship with him. If this morning you are feeling like you're in one of those seasons where you're maybe on the fence, you're just not sure, maybe you were sure in the past, but now you're kind of like, I'm not really sure where I'm at. I never really felt all in. I want to encourage you. Jesus wants to restore you to himself. He wants relationship with you. He cares more about you than the laws he lays out. So don't feel like I'm not really following everything, so I got to, you know, figure this out and then I'll be okay. And he wants a personal relationship with you, and he is far more concerned with you than you getting it together. He wants a personal relationship with you. Sometimes I think we confuse the point of Christianity. We think that the point of Christianity is to avoid sin. It's not the point of Christianity. That's a byproduct of Christianity. Because as we look more like Jesus, then we start to avoid sin. The point of Christianity is to live a life like Jesus and follow the example that he gives us. And so if you are looking for that personal relationship with Jesus, we would love to walk through that with you. We would love to talk that through with you. We would love to answer any questions that you would have. So if you have questions, you can talk to myself or Pastor Mark. You can come talk to us anytime. You can call the office. We would love to walk through this with you because we believe that an all-in life with Jesus is the best life that you could possibly live. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you so much that we see from this example that you are in the business of restoring and changing people's lives. God, I thank you that we can see from this story and from your word that you love us so deeply that you want a personal relationship with us. That you care about us so greatly that you want to get to know us as us before we figure out other things that are going on in our lives. God, if there's anyone here this morning who's struggling in that area of their life where they're feeling like they're just on the fence, they're unsure, they're just not 100%, God, that you would start to nudge them forward in their relationship with you. That they would feel that desire that you have to meet with them because you love them so, so greatly. God, you are so good to us. We're so thankful that you bless us and give us so much grace even when we don't deserve it, even when we fail and mess up. You give your grace so free to us. You are so, so good, and we love you so much. And we ask all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I hope you guys have an awesome week. Enjoy this sunshine. It's supposed to be nice all week, I think. So take advantage of it, and we'll see you next week.